This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
A member gets to rate each candidate in order of preference. It's a form of proportional representation.
Oh, I've heard of that. Instead of winner-take-all, the results reflect the broad preferences of the voters. That sounds democratic.
Then we verify the ballots and count the votes. Any challenges to the election process must be received before November 15th. Then the National Election Supervisor announces the results and the new board meets in December, including you if enough members vote for you.
Why wouldn't they?
I don't know. So get nominated today.
I'll do that.
And whether you run or not, don't forget to vote.
I'll do that too.
If you can help spread the word, write to election@wbai.org.
I'll do that too.
Good.
And with that, it is now exactly midnight in New York City, and you are tuned to listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM, as you may have surmised. That, as I say, was a sneak preview, because tonight we've got a little bit of bureaucratic rigmarole to deal with here on the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade, which is coming up forthwith. But don't worry, it will not be without extremely caustic commentary, and also great music.
Thank you.
Taking the Wayback Machine to, I believe it was 1973, Manu Dibango's genre-defining classic, Soul Makossa, which, of course, we are playing in tribute to a recently departed icon of global pop culture. And people who have followed his career closely will understand why we are playing Manu Dibango's classic, Soul Makossa, in honor of this recently departed giant of global pop culture. And just in case you didn't get it, well, here's a clue. Mama ko, mama sa, mama ma ko sa. Mama ko, mama sa, mama ma ko sa. Well, that's how Manu Dibango did it. The other guy did it a little bit differently. He went, mama say, mama sa, mama ko sa. Mama say, mama ma, mama ko sa. But that was close enough that Manu Dibango felt within his rights to bring litigation, which he did, and eventually arrived at a rather hefty out-of-court settlement. And, you know, it's interesting, as we've noted on these airways before, that same riff, in fact, was picked up with far more fidelity to the original, in fact, by various New Yorican funk musicians back in the early 70s, and Manu Dibango never sued them, so I guess he understood that said global icon of pop culture could afford to part with a little cash. And I agree. I think Manu Dibango was within his rights. But did you ever wonder what the hell mama say, mama sa, mama ko sa means? Well, I always have. And passing of said global icon of pop culture has provided us with an opportunity to find out. There was a very interesting post today on the blog, Language Log. Very interesting blog. I'm going to be checking it out more. So they write, let's see, what do they write? Noting this whole litigious affair between Manu Dibango and said recently departed icon of global pop culture. Let's see, that the story behind these seemingly nonsensical syllables is a fascinating one, originating in the Cameroonian language, Douala. Douala is spoken in Douala, Cameroon's largest city, which has long been a musical hotbed. Since the 1960s, Cameroonian pop music has been dominated by a rhythmic style of dance music from Douala known as Makossa. The Douala word, Makossa, is, let's see, what does it mean? What does the Douala word Makossa mean? It tells you something about the pronunciation here, but let's skip the pronunciation tip and skip right to the to what it means. The entry for Makossa in the Oxford English Dictionary explains that Makossa is a derivative of kosa, to peel or to remove the skin, as in of a fruit or vegetable. And the name refers to the twisting and shaking movements of the dancer. Isn't that interesting? Makossa hit the big time in 1973 when Manu Dibango's Soul Makossa became an international hit. The song's origins were hardly auspicious. It was actually the B-side of a single, of which the A-side was a song in praise or homage to the Cameroonian national football team, which was not a hit. But Sol Makossa turned out to be the big surprise hit, the B-side. And as I say, it was sort of a genre-defining hit of this. Really, well, Makossa is sort of a subgenre of Afropop, which was then on the ascendancy and became kind of a worldwide craze back in the early 1970s. And let's see, a little more about Manu Dibango from the African Music Encyclopedia website. Manu Dibango, born Emmanuel Dibango Njoki in 1933 in Douala, Cameroon, is a true African international superstar. Though his parents were both Protestant, Manu was considered to be the child of a mixed marriage. His father is of the Yabasi people, his mother of the Douala. Manu always felt that he was a divided man. And then there is a quote from Manu Dibango saying, quote, born of two antagonistic ethnic groups in Cameroon, where custom is dictated by the father's origin, I have never been able to identify completely with either of my parents. Thus, I have felt pushed towards others as I made my own path, end quote. Which reminds me a little bit of a particular lyric, don't you black and white me, as somebody once sang. So, there we go with our little homage to you know who, without actually invoking either his name or his music. Because everybody else has done that on WBAI and every other radio station in the world. So I'm just going to be a little bit different. So, speaking of being different, this is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI, 99.5 FM in New York City. My name is Bill Weinberg. And, shout out, once again, every time I play something from that album, gotta give a shout out to the one and only sister from another planet, Andrea Clark, who, dubbed that classic disc for the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Thank you, Andrea. And, on the subject of listener-supported non-commercial WBAI, we have some internal business, as it were, which needs to be, dealt with this evening. So, you know what? I think probably what we're going to do is, okay, let me explain what's going on here for starters. somebody's trying to call in, so go away, hang up, not taking phone calls now. Maybe, although then again, maybe not, we'll take phone calls at around 1 o'clock in the morning, as we usually do, or sometimes do, depending on how things go between now and then. Because I attended the LSB meeting, the local station board meeting, earlier this week because it happened to be in Manhattan, south of 14th Street. So it was convenient for me to attend, being the rather unambitious and provincial person that I have become in my middle age. And I was appalled at what a hate fest it was. So, I'm going to have some things to say about this, but before I do, a couple of announcements, and one of them is that it is apparently mandatory upon all producers on WBAI that we have to devote 15 minutes of airtime to providing rigorous and explicit instructions for those who want to become a member of the local station board. And I encourage listeners to do so. Because the LSB has for too long been divided by two bitterly and intransigently opposed factions, and we need to bring in some new blood. Very, very badly. I'm really convinced it's the only thing which is going to save the station. But I also feel obliged to say that you better know what you're getting into, because it's not pretty. It really isn't pretty. I'm hoping that if, you know, some new people get involved who are not wedded to either of the pre-existing bitterly opposed factions, then maybe things can de-escalate a little bit. and I'm going to be making an appeal precisely for de-escalation tonight. But nonetheless, in the interest of true disclosure, I'm going to be following up the 15 minutes devoted to explicit instructions on how to become an LSB member with my own little analysis of the impasse at WBAI. So forthwith, if I can get the controls to roll over and say, Uncle, we are going to hear once again, now that we're officially in my showtime, in my program time, in my broadcast slot, we're going to play once again the pre-produced cart, pre-produced segment, and then I am going to, which is only 4 minutes long, then I'm going to fill the remaining 11 minutes, assuming we stay on schedule, with the written instructions, which I am going to read, possibly with a certain degree of annotation. And certainly my reading will be followed by a great degree of annotation, shall we say. In fact, by a rant. So, do stay tuned, all of you WBAI mavens. Let's see if I can get this thing to roll over and say uncle. Say an uncle. Good.
Hey, want to participate in the WBAI local station board elections?
What's a local station board?
It's a group of WBAI members who are elected by all the other members to oversee the work of the station. They meet once a month to deal with maintaining the health and welfare of WBAI.
How do they do that?
The local station board is responsible for the station budget. They approve funding for WBAI's expenses and work with management to ensure that WBAI's programs represent the needs of listeners and communities served by the station.
Well, I'm a listener and I belong to a community that needs to be served by the station.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
The local station board studies community needs. It also reaches out to underrepresented communities to make our programming as broad and diverse as the listening area. People involved in social action and making culture can bring their issues to the tri-state audience, not to mention worldwide web podcasts.
Hmm.
If you want to make a change...
I do.
...and get your voice heard...
Yes.
...this is your chance.
Okay, that's what I want.
Okay, but first you have to qualify.
Huh?
A qualified member has paid WBAI the membership fee of $25 a year in the 12 months between July 14th, 2008 and July 14th, 2009. Just go to the website at WBAI.org or call 212-209-2800. You can also qualify if you've done at least 3 hours of volunteer work at the station over the last year.
Okay, I qualify. Am I on the board yet?
Well, next you have to place your name and nomination.
Uh-oh, how?
Well, you need to get the nominating forms by contacting the local election supervisor, Ethan Young, by emailing election@wbai.org or by leaving a message at 1-866-PEACE-01.
Wait a minute. 1-866-PEACE-01.
Right. Okay. You'll need endorsing signatures from 15 other listener members of WBAI.
Oh. So I fill out the forms, get 15 endorsing signatures. Is that it?
Well, you also have to write a statement about why you want to serve on the local station board.
Oh.
This will be put on the Pacifica website and broadcast on WBAI.
Hmm.
Then you take the statement, the signatures, and the filled-out forms and send them back to WBAI right away. Now, we have to have them by July 14th, 2009.
Then what?
Well, then the campaign begins.
Well, how will people know I'm running and what I stand for?
Well, the WBAI local election supervisor will make sure you're heard on the radio.
On WBAI?
Well, yes.
Huh.
And you'll get to meet other listeners when you speak at community election forums.
Mm.
The campaign season runs from July 15th to Halloween.
And then I get to be on the board?
Well, then all the members... get to vote for you. On each ballot, a member gets to rate each candidate in order of preference. It's a form of proportional representation.
Oh, I've heard of that. Instead of winner-take-all, the results reflect the broad preferences of the voters. That sounds democratic.
Then we verify the ballots and count the votes. Any challenges to the election process must be received before November 15th. Then the National Election Supervisor announces the results and the new board meets in December, including you if enough members vote for you.
Why wouldn't they?
I don't know. So get nominated today.
I'll do that.
And whether you run or not, don't forget to vote.
I'll do that too.
If you can help spread the word, Write to election at WBAI.org.
I'll do that, too.
Good.
Okay, and in addition to having to play the four-minute pre-prepared segment, I'm also going to read the pre-prepared text because I have to fill 15 minutes and we've only filled four. So, but, you know, I hate to tell you, but, you know, I'm a professional editor, and this is the most poorly written thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I don't know who wrote it, so please don't take offense, whoever you are. It's nothing personal, I mean, it's barely grammatical. Hi, that it's time for this year's local station board election, period. This is a sentence? This is a sentence fragment. This is not a sentence. I believe some words have been left out. How about, actually, if we killed the word that, that would work. You could just say, hi, it's time for this year's local station board LSB election. That would work. Or you could say, hi, did you know that it's time for this year's local station board LSB election? Question mark. That would also work. But I digress. Let me tell you why this is important. When the Pacifica National Board met in Berkeley this April, the Pacifica National Board, PNB, voted to put processes in place to ensure the full participation of the station management in this election cycle by utilizing progressive discipline managers who don't cooperate. Why don't they cooperate? What's the point of utilizing them if they don't cooperate? Ensure the full cooperation of the station management in this election cycle by utilizing progressive discipline managers who don't cooperate. Completely nonsensical. We hope this paves the way for a smooth and transparent election process through the mutual cooperation of management, election supervisors, staff, and listeners. By the way, the election process is overseen by each station's local election supervisor and by their supervisor, Les Radke, the national election supervisor. All management and staff are required to sign a fair campaign pledge during each election cycle to ensure that they remain neutral. How do I participate in the election? You can participate by running as a listener candidate for the local station board, LSB, and you can vote for the listener candidates. You just need to be a current member of your station, either be becoming a new member. I believe you mean either by becoming a new member, by, B-Y, not B, B-E. Either by becoming a new member or a member who has renewed the membership before June 30th. Just make a minimum annual donation of $25 or perhaps 3 hours of volunteer work answering the phones or fulfilling subscriptions and premiums, and you'll be a member in good standing. Why should I care, you ask? And the question mark is placed incorrectly. The question mark should go after care, not after ask. Here's why. Because the Pacifica bylaws give local station board, LSB, the power and responsibility to, quote, or bullet, I should say, make recommendations to the executive director for the hiring and firing of each station's general manager. The apostrophe is placed incorrectly. But, of course, you wouldn't have known that if I hadn't said it. Bullet, approve each station's annual budget. There, the apostrophe was placed accurately that time. And bullet, ensure that the programming at each station conforms to the mission of Pacifica. In addition, each LSB gets to elect 4 directors to the National Board. What does the National Board do? The National Board is responsible for the governance of the network. They ensure that the station management be held accountable for carrying out its mandates, including compliance with the Pacifica mission in all its on-air programming. That should be it ensures, not they ensure. Board is singular, not plural. They also ensure, they presumably referring to the members of the board, also ensure that managers cooperate with the LES and the MES during the election process. Okay, now has it been made clear what the LES and the MES is? As far as I know, the LES is the Lower East Side. Oh, local election supervisor. There we go. And I suppose national election supervisor. During the election process, managers that don't comply can face progressive disciplinary action. I wonder in what sense disciplinary action can be progressive. Why should I run as a listener candidate? Bullet. If you support Pacifica and its mission and you want your voice to be heard, now is the time to participate. Well, that should be one sentence rather than two. Bullet. Because you can represent your neighborhood, constituency, ethnic group, or any community with which you are affiliated for a period of 3 years before you have to run again. Bullet. Because this year, unlike other times in the past, you really have opportunities to debate issues with other candidates on air and in person. And bullet. Because this is an opportunity to make a difference in the direction of your station at a time when Pacifica leverage can make a huge difference in the world. Does somebody have something they wish to add?
Well, yes. I just need to point out
yes.
something that you may not be aware of, because
yes.
you only know what's on the paper written in front of you.
Correct.
That since the election process got off to a slow start, and the national and local election supervisors were not in place in a timely manner, anywhere it says June 30th, which has already passed, that has been extended 2 weeks, or actually to July 15th.
Did it in fact say June 30th?
It did. Oh. It did. And it will again, as I recall from this reading this script the other night, that yes, indeed, anywhere it says June 30th, it's midnight on July 15th, which means people will be running in here at 11:55 with their signatures and statements, and possibly beyond.
Well, thank you for this helpful annotation, Max Schmid.
Why, certainly.
To continue, where was I? Just make sure you are a listener member in good standing and complete all of the written materials in the nomination package. Oh, Max, one more thing. In the very next sentence, it says, if you don't want to be a candidate, how else, if I don't want to be a candidate, how else I can participate, you may ask. And then.
And you may well ask.
Yes. But I note that somebody wrote your name here, so I just thought I would bring this to your attention.
Oh, no, no. This was a script I shared with Mr. Locally the other day when we did a little tandem reading of this thing.
Okay. All right, so you were asking the questions.
No, Simon was asking the questions.
Oh, okay.
See? That's why he asked Max. Get
oh,
it?
Right.
Get
oh,
it?
Okay. Now I'm
we turned it into a little dialogue, even though apparently it was written to be read as a, you may ask.
Yes.
As a one-person question and answer
sort
thing.
Sort of reminds me of the Passover Seder. Inside joke. You can join your local election committee that is responsible for working with the LES, Local Election Supervisor, to organize open forums for the candidates and on-air debates. Call your, Max, call your LES name and contact info here. Do we know who the LES name and contact info is? I believe that would be Ethan Young, but what's for contact info? Max, if you can hear my voice, maybe you can answer this question too. Call your insert LES name and contact info here.
All right, you can find Ethan Young's contact information on the WBAI webpage, WBAI.org. If you happen not to have a computer, you may call him at 209-2828. Is that our extension? 209-2828. Yes, that is his extension, as far as I remember. He announced it at the LSB meeting. Weren't you taking notes?
Oh, yeah.
Or had you left by then?
No, I stuck it out to the end.
Oh, okay.
Masochist that I am.
Now, isn't that, if you want a free ticket, if you went to the Barnum and Bailey Circus, you pay a minimum of $10 and quite a bit more.
All right. If you want to join me when I rant and kibitz after the reading, you're welcome to come back into the studio and join me.
I'm just saying, what better three-ring circus for free than an LSB meeting?
It seemed less like Barnum Bailey than like the old Roman circuses, throwing people to the lions.
If only we had swords and, you know, balls on a stick.
Okay, what are the nomination requirements for listener candidates? Well, first you must obtain 15 valid signatures of people you know are current members of your station. Then you must complete a 500-word essay about the reasons why you want to run, and you can answer the questions put to all the candidates about their qualifications for ruining for the LSB. Oh boy, is that ever a Freudian slip? Ruining for the LSB, R-U-I-N-I-N-G. I'm just reading what it says. Ask, you can answer the questions put to all the candidates about their qualifications for ruining for the LSB and their goals and aspirations for the station. Where do I find this information? All candidate information can be found in the nomination package that is prepared by the LES, Local Election Supervisor, and it is also posted to Pacifica's website at www.pacifica.org/elections. You must submit all of your written materials before midnight July 1st in order to qualify as listener candidate. Well, am I to take that to mean midnight July 15th now? Max, can you hear me? I assume that it actually means not tonight, but 2 weeks from tonight, midnight July 15th. Have I got that right, Max? By the way, the sooner your nomination papers are received and verified, the sooner your information can be posted on your station's website. Your LES, Local Election Supervisor, can arrange for people with disabilities or special needs to receive nomination packages. Please contact Ethan Young, I assume, at the number that Max just gave you, which I failed to write down. How does the election work, and what is the process? First, there's a nomination period. This is from June 1st to July 1st, by which I assume they mean June 1st to July 15th. Right, Max? All candidates must be members in good standing and have their nomination forms completed and filed with their station's local election supervisor by midnight July 1st, which I assume means midnight July 15th. If you are not sure of your membership status, you can call name and number at local station name here. I would imagine that means WBAI. I imagine it means Ethan Young at number 212-209-29. What's the main switchboard? Whatever it says on the website. Go to the website. At WBAI. The nomination requirements can be downloaded from Pacifica's website at www.pacifica.org or by calling local election supervisor /LES name here at, and that would be Ethan Young at whatever number Max just gave you. Max, you want to come in here and give the number again? What's next? Then the campaign begins. Campaigning runs from July 2nd through September 30th, by which I assume they actually mean July 15th through September 30th. If I'm a candidate, where do I campaign? As a listener candidate, you will have several on-air and in-person opportunities to make your options known to the voting public and to debate with other listener candidates in your area during the election period. You can also attend local station board meetings to see how they operate. Bah! Operate. Now, there's a euphemism, if I ever heard one. How they fail to operate might be the more truthful wording. If you have internet access, you can listen to the internet-streamed national board meetings to become better informed about the issues. Should be a hyphen between internet and streamed, by the way, whoever wrote this. What's after the campaign period? Well, then there's the voting period. It runs from August 15th through midnight September 30th. I assume that hasn't changed. When you vote, you will have a chance to choose at least one person who will represent you and your interest on the board. Through the use of the single transferable voting method, that's all capitalized, we will all be given the opportunity for proportional representation of each constituency that participates in each LSB election. Then what happens? The ballots are counted, we hope. This is an exciting time because people gather in a large space with lots of ballots, with candidates standing around in the background, and with a brave group of volunteers who handle the ballots and the verification process. It is sometimes tense in the room. Yeah, I would imagine so. Since it is the aftermath of the campaign, and some campaigns can get very heated. I believe this has come to our attention, yes. So there is free food and drink to help people relax and proceed to complete the balloting counting process, or at least to provide ammunition for food fights, as the case may be. Well, what is that? What is the ballot counting process? No, I'm sorry. I read wrong. Forgive me. Well, is that it? Is actually what it says. My bad. Well, is that it? Nope, not quite. Each election has to be certified by the National Election Supervisor by November 15th. If there are any challenges to the election, they have to be addressed prior to the 15th. Then what? Well, then the board meets in December and begins their new term of office. Well, that's all well and good, but why should I vote? Because by participating in this election, you can really play a role in determining the future direction of your station and the network. Because you can participate in real democratic process, there should be an article there, a real democratic process perhaps, or the real democratic process, and help to select the candidates that will represent you, the listener, on the LSB. People with disabilities or other special needs will be able to obtain voting materials by calling ... That's presumably 212-209-290-something, or 29-something-something. And you can encourage all the local station name here, listeners, members, presumably WBAI, listener members, you know, to attend the in-person forums. There should be a hyphen between in and person. Dates and times to be announced shortly. And to listen to the candidates on the air so you know how people stand on the issues, which helps you to make an informed decision when you vote in this election. Thank you so much for caring about this station and this network. If not about spelling and grammar. Sorry. Well, let's see, I went overboard a little bit with all of my condescending kibitzing there, so please forgive me. Okay, now we're going to have a little rant from yours truly, Bill Weinberg, but not before we hear some more music. We're going to hear some more music, and then we'll have a rant, and maybe Max will join us to help rant and kibitz. But first, why don't we hear, just so we can catch our breath, what Manu Dibango did with that same classic cut, Sol Makossa, a generation later on his album of, I believe, 2002, Wakafrica, which will be a lot more pleasant than everything else we're dealing with tonight.
Yo!
Mama, go, mama, shine, mama, go, shine.
All right, a little more Sol Makossa from Amanu Dibango. And by the way, I should say that despite his little litigious affair with recently departed global pop icon, he also, upon his passing, had some very, very flattering words to say about him. So we are not here to we are here to celebrate rather than to disparage anybody tonight. Except when it comes to WBAI. by the way, there's going to be a benefit concert, apparently. Help save our most progressive radio station. Friday, July 17th, featuring Judy Gorman, the Ray Corona Band, the Mahina Movement, and the New York City Raging Grannies and their daughters. Now, given this is a benefit for BAI, am I allowed to say how much they're asking?
Sure you can.
Okay. Well, they're asking $10, which is actually less than you pay to go to a movie these days in Manhattan, disgracefully. This is going to be happening Friday, July 17th. I guess that's 2 weeks from this coming Friday at 7 p.m. at the Lafayette Avenue Presbyterian Church, which is 85 South Oxford Street. Corner of Lafayette Avenue in Oxford in Brooklyn, USA. Very close to the Lafayette Avenue stop on the C train and four blocks northeast of the Atlantic Pacific stop. You know, I should know where that is, but I don't quite know exactly where that is. And there's no number for more information or anything, so you just got to write it down. Well, we'll have the chance to announce it again. Friday, July 17th, 7 p.m., at the Lafayette Avenue Presbyterian Church in Brooklyn. Be there. But the question, of course, is, you know, who organized it? Which faction is it? Are there going to be fist fights?
I think it's a BAI benefit. I'm sure the factions will be there, each with their separate literature, duking it out.
Yeah, well, maybe not, if this is like, you know, a gig which is organized by one faction or the other.
No, I don't think factions hold fundraising events for the station.
Well, this is to imply that there is anybody around who is not in a faction, apart from me. I'm not in a faction. I think I'm one of the last. Maybe not the very last. But anyway, so those who are interested, both of the factions, by the way, I was lamenting the fact that it was only the Take Back WBAI people who have got their own website.
That's not true.
Right. Now there's a Take Forward WBAI website as well. So you can check out both of them and read their respective propaganda and make up your own mind. TakeBackWBAI.org or TakeForwardWBAI.org. And we link to both of them as well as to the fascinating pages about Manu Dibango and the Gloved One, which I just read on our website on the entry for tonight's show. Our website being the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusades website, morc.info. So,
wasn't there another website where I read some information about the mysterious death that he was caused by some sort of poisoning?
Oh, that's just some. That was on conspiranoids.com.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. I'm not sure that's to be taken all that seriously, though.
Oh, I would take it gravely seriously.
I think there's a slight chance that's a satirical website, but people should check it out. Judge for themselves. Conspiranoids.com. Some very interesting speculations about earth-shattering passage from his mortal coil. Of
to his reptilian return to the egg. No, that must have been, was he reptilian or ichthyoid? Or?
I believe ichthyoid is the going theory. Anyway, yes, conspiranoids.com, you can read all about it there. All of you people who think that the Bilderbergs are running the entire known universe, this is a website just for you, conspiranoids.com. Check it out. And Thanks for reminding me, Max. Good call. So, all right, I guess, you know, I have some things to say about the general state of WBAI, and because Max is far more au courant about this stuff than I am, he's here to kibitz. I suppose we should mention, in the interests of full disclosure, that you are, in fact, a member of the LSB.
Yes, elected by my staff mates here at WBAI. There are 24 seats on the board. 18 of them are for listener members, and 6 of them are set aside for staff members. And they are elected in the same way. What is it called? Trickle-down, the trickle-down economic theory? No, single transfer or something voting.
Yes.
You familiar with this?
Well,
system?
Some sort of proportional representation.
Yes,
I'm
basically
not up on the bureaucraties. But
well, you know, if your guy gets elected, you can vote for as many candidates as you like, but you're supposed to put them in a,
yes,
you know, number,
yes,
them,
yes,
in,
yes,
order.
Exactly.
And if your first choice gets elected, the excess votes then trickle down to your second choice, and so on down the line. And each round of balloting, someone at the bottom is eliminated,
yes,
and someone gets elected. So, and that process goes through as many rounds as it takes to fill up all of the vacancies, which I believe are 9 listener seats this time. I'm not sure of the number, but it's a good percentage of turnover on the board this year, including losing many people who were elected in the first. This is the 4th, I think, election, and people are only eligible to serve 6 consecutive years, and then they have to take a year off before they can return if they're crazy enough to want to do so. I mean, if they want to rejoin the struggle and commitment to WBAI, which, of course, is required to be a board member.
Uh-huh. Okay, so this is some things which I'm not getting here. Okay, for starters, everything's been pushed back 2 weeks. So instead of the deadline being tonight, the deadline is actually, what, July 15th?
That's the deadline to get in your nominations, get in your petitions and your statement if you want to run, or to sign up and be a member in order to vote. You also need to be signed up as a member.
Okay, so, but there's, we're already ostensibly in the campaigning period in which producers are restrained from saying certain things over the air.
Yes, we are not allowed to endorse or condemn any particular candidates. I don't know if that's true also of slates, but I believe, you know, it's called the fair election process or something. So
okay, but you see,
we're kind of restricted in what we can say about various.
All right, but you see, I never received any memo to this effect.
I have pointed this out to the appropriate parties, and I hope that sometime they will, you know, get around to giving us those things that every year in the past we've had to sign at election time, saying that we have understood and will not engage in, although they have already reprimanded one fellow.
Yes, precisely.
For doing just that.
Precisely.
However, he went a little, I don't know if this is for the air, he went beyond, above and beyond, condemning station politics and transgressed even further, but.
Meaning what?
Meaning I don't think I can say so on the air. Exactly what?
Well, you know,
apparently it's a much broader issue than Pacifica alone, because of people he slammed in his editorial.
Oh,
let's put it that way. Let's say the FCC might get involved into equal time for candidates for various city offices. Shall we say?
I'm not following you.
Well, there's some fairness in broadcasting laws that may have been infringed upon as well.
I'm still not following you. What he said didn't concern city politics.
Listen to it?
Well, no, because
it's been removed
from the archive, Max.
Oh, well, that's probably why.
Yes.
I've probably said too much already as a responsible board member entrusted with the welfare of our license.
Now, look, I understand that the people who made this decision, and I'll say the name of the producer over the air, I take responsibility for this. Nothing I say should reflect on Max just because he's in the studio with me. We're talking about Bill DeFazio of the City Show.
What's the name of this? City Watch.
City Watch. Forgive me. Okay, now maybe, you know, the responsible parties who took the decision to discipline him by barring him from the air for 1 week feel that...
Well, he's...
Hang on a minute. Hang on. Maybe they feel that A, they had to take that move, and that B, they had to do so without any public airing of why they felt they had to take that move. And maybe they also felt that they had to remove his show from the archive. But given that for whatever reason, legitimate or not, they have chosen not to be open and transparent about the whole affair, I'm left with the natural inclination to protest at his censorship, I have to say.
Well, all I can say is there may be legal issues that cause that to happen. Beyond which, since I only know rumors, I'm not willing to go further on. Although I agree that since the staff have not been given the forms to sign or been informed, if you're not on certain producer email lists that many people won't go on because they're so toxic.
Yes, precisely. Like me, I raise my hand.
And others of us just, like we enjoy horror comic books with blood and gore.
Exactly.
We like to engage in the blood and gore. However, how can you hold someone responsible when they haven't been informed?
Thank you.
And I fully agree.
Thank you.
I fully agree with that.
Thank you. Okay, good. Good, good, good.
That until we have these forms to sign, and that people know and state that they know what their obligations and restrictions are, that, how can you penalize someone for doing so?
Thank you. And similarly,
however wrong they may be.
Well, may or may not be, but we can't judge for ourselves if the broadcast has been removed from the archive, can we? And similarly, I will also state that the ostensible barring of certain voices, Bernard White and Io Harrington, from the airwaves, I would fall into the same category. If management has got legitimate reasons for doing so, then they should be clear and transparent about what they are. And if they have legitimate reasons for not being clear and transparent, well, then maybe they do, but they're going to have to live with the fact that some of us are going to look askance at the whole thing. And I urge management, not being privy to what the decision-making has been, I merely urge management to, at this very, very sensitive moment of transition, to err on the side of free speech and to take the high ground, because it's only going to deepen the already debilitating polarization here if there is any hint that people are being censored or barred.
Well, all I can say is that in matters of personnel issues, including people's comings and goings from employment in the network, that these matters are not public.
But that's not what I'm talking about.
Well, but that's why things cannot be said, because it's personnel issues and they are private personnel issues.
Okay, all right, well, even if that also applies to the ostensible barring of people from the airwaves, once again, I'm going to give management the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they really are constrained from coming clear as to what their legitimate reasons are for taking these measures. But that still just that leaves us in a position of ignorance. And my natural inclination is always to err on the side of freedom of speech.
So, well, okay, but you're not going to get sued over,
I acknowledge this.
That is basically it. There are legal issues. Pacifica has been rocked by, I would say, dozens of lawsuits of one sort or another that, even if the network wins, which generally they go to make a payment, a settlement, rather than drag it through the courts. But, just a legal process is costly, even if it results in a settlement.
And on the question thereof, as you just pointed out, I believe off air, that the litigation around the last election still has not been cleared up now that we're going into the new one.
No, I don't think it's been fully resolved. But this is a reason for you to check in. Now, later on in the election process, ballots will be mailed to all members of the station, whether you have paid your minimum of $25 or if you worked for 3 hours during our fundraising campaigns, if you answered phones for 3 hours or you came in to help mail out premiums, which you can still do, you have 2 weeks. If you can't afford $25, you can come in and help mail premiums or do other volunteer work around here that is required, and you can still earn your membership in order to be eligible to vote. And then, there will be a period when ballots will be mailed, for some ridiculous reason, I think they still mail them out third class or something less than first class so that there's no record of which ones are not deliverable. But after a certain period of time, if people don't receive ballots who feel they are entitled to them, they should certainly check their status and find out why they didn't get a ballot. And that's largely what the last the lawsuit was about from the previous election. People who are members, staff members, or Pacifica members who never got ballots and then were given the runaround by the election supervisors. And then even after they got replacement ballots, those few who did, many of them were disqualified anyway. So that's what the case was about.
Disqualified?
And, well, they were just never counted. Each ballot has a secret code on it, so they know, you know, on the envelope, so they can check off the envelopes against the subscriber lists to make sure that the votes are legitimate. And I believe the votes are separated out. In case of a replacement ballot, they would remove the original code and write in a new code so that, you know, one person would only be able to vote once. But many people, even if they got replacement ballots, their votes were not actually counted. So, and hopefully there will be less of that this time around.
Yes, hopefully. Well, let's see. I should say that it's station break now, and it's 40 seconds of midnight here on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM. I mean, of 1 o'clock in the morning, forgive me. Here on listener-supported non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. This is the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. I'm Bill Weinberg. And we are kibitzing with Max Schmid of Mass Backwards and the Golden Age of Radio and member of the LSB. I keep wanting to say LSD, Local Station Board.
That's how we can fix the meetings. Slip everyone a dose, some larger than others, on the way in.
I'm not sure that would be wise.
I don't know. I'd like to see some of these characters under the influence of something. Just to see how their personality would change. Maybe some of them would get sweet and lovely.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? Well, once again, I went to the LSB meeting this week, and I was just appalled at what an abject hate fest it was on both sides. And there's a couple of things I want to say in this regard. The first is that, I'm making an appeal to the people on both sides and I'm talking particularly about the people in the audience on both sides, to chill out and stop trying to shout down the person who has the floor. There's just no point. You aren't going to, unless you want to really turn it into a bare-knuckled struggle and actually try to provoke physical violence so that you can then, you know, accuse the other side of starting it. Unless that's your strategy, which is a really sinister strategy, there's absolutely no tactical advantage to be gained from, you know, this incessant, heckling and booing and accusations and shouting down and interrupting of whoever has the floor. All it does is slow down the meetings and completely gum up the works of the supposed process.
Bill, do you suppose that is what the result, or the expected result, is of this heckling?
Well, no, I'm trying to figure out what the...
Well, you know, if there's an agenda of items to be gotten to, votes to be taken, one of the things we couldn't get to during the last two meetings, due to the heckling and the slowdowns, was we never got to form the waivers committee because of all of the heckling. We could have extended the meeting 15 minutes. I voted to extend the meeting 15 minutes so we could get to the waivers, which are in the bylaws of Pacifica, that people who, A, cannot pay the $25 minimum, or B, volunteer for the 3 hours to become a member if they can show that they are, you know, in abject poverty and unable to work, that they can basically ask for a waiver to become a member.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that, you know, since it's election time and since it's in the bylaws, we need to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully we'll get to it at the July 8th meeting if there isn't too much interference and heckling. But, you know, we currently have an interim general manager and an interim program director.
Mm-hmm.
We had to form a committee to hire a program director and a general or I guess a general manager mm-hmm. will then hire a program director.
Mm-hmm. And that was voted on.
Well, that we got to. Yes. But, you know, I mean, with all the delay and the extra time given to audience statements, listener comments.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with listener comments, but I do have a problem with the fact that whoever has the mic, whether it's, you know, a listener making a comment or it's one of the board members, you know, whoever's got the floor is shouted down. And instead of somebody, you know, saying something concise and coherent in 3 minutes, mm-hmm. it turns into a 15-minute shouting match. That's what I object to. And I don't see that, you know, I don't see that there's any justification for this kind of behavior from either side. And both sides engage in it. And it's utterly destructive. And once again, even from a tactical standpoint, even if you think that God is on your side, you know, you are going to prevail by convincing other people that you have the correct position. You aren't going to prevail by shouting people down, which only makes you look like a yahoo and makes you look like a thug, quite frankly. So, you know, I appeal to the people on both sides who have been engaging in this to cut it out. It's not helping. It's only hurting. That's the first thing I have to say. The second thing I have to say is I am putting forth this proposition publicly on the air that, you know, I'm offering this radio show. I'm offering the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade as a forum for debate among the various candidates for the board, in which I will moderate if I can, you know, receive, an official dispensation from, not being able to weigh in. And I won't, because I'm pretty fastidiously neutral, to tell you the truth.
Well, let me just state here.
Yeah.
Because of the fairness practices,
mm-hmm.
each candidate is supposed to get the same amount of airtime as anyone else. So they will set aside time for forums. Now, if you can offer your time slot for one of these debates, because basically they'll bring in 5 or 6 candidates, and they will have a number of these forums throughout the broadcast day, even though, this midnight time slot reaches a far fewer audience than a noon time slot, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe that.
Right, but as I always say when people remind me how few people are listening at this hour, that, here we've got we've got an hour and a half and we can spread out and we can get in deep. And,
Well, but in the interest of fairness, you can't unless the other candidates who don't make it onto your show get an equal amount of time somewhere else in the broadcast day.
Well, this is what
that's the problem. Mm. You can't select people you want to bring into debate or, you know, even have them self-select because it's not fair to the other candidates. Mm.
Okay, well, in that case, another option would be that we could take one or two persons from either camp who are not, in fact, running and allow them to make their positions with me moderating, and we consider taking listener phone calls. But I think that it would be productive to do it in a forum where there isn't going to be a room full of angry people trying to shout down whoever's got the mic.
Well, you know, there are a number of candidates on both sides who are terming out, as it were, people who can't run again. Maybe you could have, you know, some of those folks
there you go.
Come in
precisely
and lay out what they think the issues are, because I think they will be representing their teams, as it were. Now, whether this is permissible under the, you know, in the election cycle, you'd have to take that up with Ethan Young, local election supervisor, whose number, by the way,
yes,
if you'd
please,
like to contact
please.
Ethan about becoming a candidate, finding out if you're up to date and a member, is 209-2828. That's 212-209-2828. And I believe, I don't know, if you poke around the homepage of WBAI, you might be able to find an email address for him. I'm sure it's there. And you can also find those nomination packets that you will need with the questionnaire and the forms to get signed by other members. You need 15. That's the hardest part, I would think, especially for an independent candidate, would be, you know, how do you know who's a member of WBAI to get 15 signatures? So I hope they come up very quickly with some of these parties or, you know, signature events that they talk about in this document, because, you know, that might be necessary for people to get their ballots signed. You know, the staff is easy enough, as we saw earlier. You just run through someday and, you know, there are usually 5 staff members around who will sign your ballot. But for a listener, it may not be that simple to find 15 members of Pacifica to sign off on your candidacy.
Yes. Well, people know how to reach me. So, you know, if Ethan or anybody else who likes this idea is listening tonight, I am volunteering this show's time for at least one episode to be devoted to a debate either among candidates or among representatives of the rival camps who are not candidates to hash it out with me moderating and without, you know, a room full of thugs trying to shout them down, quite frankly, because that's what that last LSB meeting that I went to was.
Thugs and preachers, not to name anyone specifically.
Well, the only reason I wouldn't name anyone specifically is because this is a I know you may disagree with me, and I know most people who are listening will disagree with me, but this is a malady which afflicts both camps. It really does.
Well, yes, and in what proportion? But I guess that's not for you to judge.
It afflicts both camps.
Well,
that's all
okay.
I'll say.
Okay. But one camp isn't organized enough to bring out their cadres and hordes of placard-carrying shouters.
Well, disorganized and smaller hordes of placard-carrying shouters can be just as annoying and just as destructive to the process, or almost as annoying and destructive to the process.
Well, we'll try to amp up our level of annoyance.
Yeah, well, I urge you to refrain from this kind of thinking. Here, you know, I happened to read over the winter. Oh, by the way, people know how to reach me. Just in case they don't, they can call 212-631-1115. Anybody wants to follow up with me on this idea, they can reach me through my voicemail. 212-631-1115. I happen to read, I confess, caught up in all of the Obama mania and the inevitable analogy to Abraham Lincoln, which he deftly encouraged and exploited. I happened to read over the winter Carl Sandburg's biography, Abraham Lincoln, The Prairie Years and the War Years. And there were some intimate depictions of the physical violence which broke out on the floor of the House and Senate repeatedly in the prelude to the Civil War. And I kept thinking that this is, you know, this is where this is where WBAI is headed. Here's one. This was 1850. This was immediately after Lincoln had served his 1 year in the House of Representatives, then got voted out because of taking the principled but unpopular stance of not supporting the Mexican War, which he viewed as a Slavocrat strategy to annex more slave states to the Union. So he's back in Illinois. Following what's going on in Washington, over the year 1850, Lincoln can read in newspapers and in the Congressional Globe of the tumults and hazards of the political drama in Washington. Only by slender circumstance and hair-trigger chances was the Union saved. In the Senate and House, men of both sides of the Great Compromise shook their fists and cried threats. This was the Compromise of 1850, which brought in California as a free state in exchange for beefing up the fugitive slave law. Mississippi Senator, Andrew Foote, called a Missouri Senator, Thomas Hart Benton, a calumniator, or a liar, on the Senate floor. Benton walked straight towards Foote, who pulled a revolver and cocked it. Benton tore open his coat and shirt, shouting, "I disdain to carry arms. Let him fire. Stand out of the way and let the assassin fire." Other senators rushed in, took the revolver from Foote, and the debate went on. So is this where WBAI is setting?
How many times at this last meeting were members of the board urged not to call other members liars? And I guess that was on
there
both
you go.
Sides as well.
There you go. There you go. A more famous incident from 1856. After a stormy debate on the Senate floor, a session had closed, and Charles Sumner of Massachusetts was struck on the head with a cane. The blows rained till the cane broke in pieces. Bruised and lacerated, without warning or chance to fight back, he struggled to rise and get at his unseen assailant, nearly wrenching loose his desk from the iron screws that held it to the floor. Several of his enemies stood by with their unspoken wishes. Let him suffer and die. It would be a blessing for the radio station, I mean the country. While Sumner lay senseless in the aisle, the blood flowing from his head. As the news of the assault went over the country, it set tongues raging in the North and deepened the sullen defiance of the South. Then for Sumner came pain. The sickbed, a wheelchair, years of grinding his teeth day by day as treatments, applications of fire, in the strange medical practices of the day, were given to heal a bruised spine and a partially disordered brain area. The assailant, Congressman Preston Brooks of South Carolina, said he had only wanted to half kill Sumner to watch him live and suffer. He resigned his seat, but was then reelected by his constituents and presented with more canes and wishes that he would use them as he knew how. So, is this really where we want to bring WBAI? I don't know. You know, stop and think before people continue to escalate these things inevitably, because it seems to me that it really is going in the direction of physical violence. And there already has been some physical violence around WBAI.
Let me just say this.
Go ahead.
The situation could be diffused by one individual saying, I had my shot, I'll bow out gracefully.
Yeah, but that's not going
to happen.
Could that
one individual be big enough to do that and avoid destroying the radio station?
Okay, well, Max, you are certainly within your rights to appeal to that individual to do so. But if said individual does not do so, I don't feel that that lets anybody off the hook for, you know, this kind of thuggish behavior.
Perhaps not. I'm just saying, you know, there are ways that the situation would not have to come to the end of the radio station, which is what it's coming to.
Well, look, I mean, there is a certain sense that, I mean, you know that I was a regime change skeptic, as it were. And I continue to be a dissident, just as I was a dissident under the old regime and protested over these airwaves the removal of Robert Knight, who I understand is coming back, about which I am happy. You know, I similarly remain a dissident or a skeptic under the new regime. It's just in my nature. But isn't there nonetheless a certain sense? I mean, the last fund drive was a success, right? Isn't there a sense that maybe we've at least taken a couple of steps back from the brink?
There is that hope, yes. But, you know, we still owe over $1 million to the network to pay our share of expenses. That $1 million has been subsidized from the other four stations who are now, despite some of them having successes, other ones are falling behind as WBAI has been. And at some point, there just isn't the cash, and we won't be able to generate the cash throughout the network to sustain it all. So BAI needs to continue to pull its own weight, and this last fund drive was a step in the right direction. We need to repeat that. We've got an August drive coming up, a short one, only 2 weeks in August, and then, you know, in October we'll be back for a full month. You know, it seems never-ending, but if we keep up the pace, then, you know, we've got another year left as opposed to, you know, 6 months ago. There was some question as to whether we would have money to get through the summer. Now we were probably good until the winter. We need to keep moving forward and, you know, figure out new ways to raise money without going to the air for it.
All right, well, I'll take this opportunity to say, by the way, that anybody out there who made a pledge during the last drive and then heard, you know, us crowing about how successful the drive was, please don't be complacent and not pay your pledge.
No.
Because we still really, really, really need your money.
It's successful on paper, but if the money doesn't come in,
exactly.
You know, success is measured in the fulfillment rate, and each drive is given a year for the fulfillment to be, you know, finalized and calculated. Fulfillment rate at BAI has been in the, 68 to 70%? It's not as high as at other stations. We did have, fortunately, a higher credit card amount of pledges during this drive, which automatically means more money because most of the credit card money, you know, that's paid automatically pretty much. It's people who ask for a bill and then don't get around to paying the bills count for the fall off.
Exactly.
So if you weren't billed on your credit card, yes, please send those checks in as quickly as you can.
Yes.
And if you want to vote in the fall, you know, you've got to get it in.
Yes.
You've got to be on the rolls by July 15th.
Exactly. And, of course, you do want to vote, and particularly those of you who, you know, became members for the first time, and those of you who have not voted before, we particularly urge you folks to vote. And because, like I say, you know, this we need to spread out beyond these two, you know, hardened, bitterly opposed factions and bring in some new blood. I'm convinced that's the only thing which is really going to save us in the long run. But, you know, just to answer your proposal here, Max, I mean, what you have to understand is that, you know, the people who are defending, you know, the take back WBAI people, the people who want to go back to the status quo ante, you know, it's not really fair or realistic to say that, you know, everything would be okay if they said uncle. You know, that's not how things work. They think, now you can disagree with them.
But they're not going away.
Exactly, that's just it. They're not going away. That's just exactly my point.
Make a
they're
peace
not going
gesture,
away.
At least. You know, let's work together to save this thing. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's what I'm saying, too.
Are the two sides so diametrically opposed? Obviously, both sides seem to care about, you know, the concept of Pacifica
one
and
hopes.
WBAI.
One hopes.
And they don't seem to be very far apart except in one, you know, one side that says program director for life and one side says, you know, let's...
Right, okay. No,
let's turn things around somehow.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I understand that that's your position, but the people who are defending Bernard White feel, and you can argue with them, but they feel that they are acting on principle and that it's a no-compromise thing and that there's, you know, been a coup d'etat, as they say. And, you know, it's not either fair or realistic to expect them to simply say uncle and come around to your position in the name of unity. So I'm not sure how useful it is to appeal to them to do that. But I am appealing to them as well as to the people in the other camp.
People should live in the real world where
Max,
jobs are evaluated.
Max, I got the mic. I got the mic, Max. Hang on a second. But you can give me your rejoinder in a minute, but let me finish the thought. The thought is that, you know, it's not really realistic to expect them to do that, but it is, I hope, within my rights, to appeal to both sides to stop trying to shout down whoever's got the floor, to stop trying to, you know, turn each meeting into a shouting match escalating towards a fist fight, which is what it's been. And to appeal to both sides that, you know, you're going to make your case by making your case, by appealing to reason, you know, sorry for being so old-fashioned here, not by thuggery and shouting people down. That doesn't make you look good. It makes you look bad. It delegitimizes you in the eyes of, you know, those of us who can sort of see both sides or are on the fence, and there might be more of us out there than you think. And if you're willing to, you know, write us off, okay, fine, write us off and, you know, turn each meeting into a shouting match until finally, you know, it does escalate into an actual physical Donnybrook. And then what will have that accomplished? I don't see that will have accomplished anything. And meanwhile, you know, those of us who have been, you know, attempting to see both sides and have been attempting to, you know, or have been acknowledging, in fact, that there are, good people on both sides, as well as a couple of people who are absolute moral monsters on both sides, and legitimate points on both sides. You know, if you're going to write us off, I submit that's to your detriment, because, you know, there are quite a few of us out there, I would submit, and that, we could actually tilt the balance. So, you know, you might want to appeal to us with logic and eloquence and persuasion rather than by, acting like thugs and trying to shout down whoever's got the mic. Did you want to say something?
No. It's pointless to say anything. You know, if they win and he comes back, then I'll be out of a job. So why should I say anything? I'll be like Solomon. Split the baby in half and screw them both. Let it sink. 50 years is enough.
I don't know if that's a dig at me, but I see my position as one of active and engaged neutrality, not mere fence sitting. I do hold with the notion that the only thing in the middle of the road is dead armadillos. Who's that Southern populist, that Texan populist?
Will Rogers?
No.
Charlie Hightower?
No, yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Right, Hightower, yeah. I don't see myself as splitting the difference like Solomon, so to speak. But
you will lie in the road with dead armadillos.
Look, Max, it's a simple fact, okay? I was at that meeting. Now, there may have been more people in one particular camp who were trying to shout down the other camp, okay? But there were people from both camps who were equally aggressive about attempting to shout down whoever had the floor and attempting to block progress, okay? So I don't feel that any side is exonerated here.
Then I invite people to come and see how wrong you are with that statement. And see who started it all and the shouts were in response to the idiot disruptors from the other side.
There were idiot disruptors on both sides. I was there from the beginning to the end, masochist that I am. There were idiot disruptors on both sides. And, in the interest of equal opportunity, I will also say that, because now that, I'm sort of taking the opposite position to that of Max, I'll also say that for all of the accusations of racism, which the Take Back WBAI folks have made of the Take Forward WBAI folks, and there have been some really egregiously stupid, racially charged comments which have been made by some key figures in the Take Forward WBAI camp.
On that, I will agree with you.
Thank you. That said, I also heard some really ugly Jew-baiting in the comments from the other side. In the heckling from the Take Back WBAI side at that meeting the other night. I just did, okay? And that does not go down very well with somebody whose last name is Weinberg. Sorry. In addition to which, I will also point out that the Take Back WBAI folks, they're in bed politically with the Workers' World Party and its front group, the International Action Center, a point which I have made belabored, in fact, many times in the past, which is and I don't use this word lightly or with in any hyperbolistic sense, but in the most narrow sense possible, they're a fascistic organization. And you will note that I'm saying fascistic, not fascist, but they are certainly fascistic. They are the stateside, and particularly, they were back during the 1990s when the wars in the former Yugoslavia were going on, the stateside mouthpiece for Serb fascism and Slobodan Milosevic, who is one of the greatest mass murderers of Muslims of our time, right up there with George Bush and Ariel Sharon. So, if you're going to be accusing the other side of racism, well, maybe you've got some merits to your arguments. Maybe you've got some merits to your accusations. But you want to make sure that your own house is in order before you make those accusations. So, there you go. Feel better, Max?
I just had a thought. Some people object. There have been rumors that, we're going to get some B-level celebrities or, who knows where you place them. But celebrity hosts for WBAI to try to bring a little attention, a little sizzle. So, but if we had, you know, a shooting at an LSB meeting, that would bring BAI a lot of attention.
Thanks, man.
Not to, I don't want to give anyone any ideas, but, you know.
Well, look, all I can say in the remaining, 3 minutes that we have to us, all I can say is that it would really, really, really be a terrible, irrevocable propaganda blow if your Peace and Justice radio station became, the arena for an actual violent confrontation in which somebody was badly hurt. So those of you who have engaged in tactics which have seemingly been escalating towards this potentiality, I really, really strongly urge that you give your tactics another thought. And I say that to people on both sides. Sorry, but I do. So, you know what? We should probably wrap it up and go out with some more Manu Dibango, I suppose. I'm going to say one more time that whether it's a formal candidates debate or if we are restrained from that by regulation, a more general debate between figures on either side who are not candidates, I once again offer my radio show as a forum for such. Anytime over the course of the campaign in the coming weeks, I can be reached once again at 212. Please don't leave any hate voicemail, okay? It really would not win me over to your camp if you did so. But if anybody wants to contact me for logistical purposes, I can be reached through my voicemail at 212-631-1115. 212-631-1115. Maxwell Schmid, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Always a pleasure. Remember, Ethan Young, 209-2828.
There you go.
Run. Vote.
Anyway, you know, Max, but it's just in my nature to be adversarial because I believe this is through the adversarial process that the truth ultimately comes to light. So
and hopefully neither one of us has said anything that will get us thrown off the air for taking sides during the election time.
Precisely. Although I'm perfectly willing to take that risk. I always err on the side of free speech because this is, after all, free speech radio. Listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI, 99.5 FM in New York City, where this has been the Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Do stay tuned for Weaponry with Tom Whisker coming up next at 1:30 in the a.m. We're going to go out for a little bit more for Manu Dibango and Sol Makosa. See you next week with any luck at all, and Salam Aleichem. Whoops. Here we go.
We'll see you on the Blue Boys.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.